If you would, take your Bibles this morning and go to Luke chapter 11. Today's Sunday, March the 26th, 2023. Luke 11. We're continuing to look at some, not all, but some of the things that Jesus Christ shared at the Last Supper. And I mentioned this last week, this was a critical time for both Jesus and his disciples the night before he was arrested. Last week we looked at serve and love one another. And this morning we're going to look at the promised gift of Holy Spirit. Before we get into that, just a few comments. There are many Christians who lack understanding that when Adam sinned, he lost the Spirit that God had given him, the Spirit that God originally intended for all human beings to have Spirit, that he lost that Spirit. And without a biblical understanding of body, soul, and spirit, so much of the Bible is just a closed book, to not understand that. And, you know, it's interesting, if you were to read the first three chapters of Genesis and note that God said, in the day you eat it, you'll surely die, and then realize that, wait a second, Adam lived a long time. Well, you could either go, well, the Bible doesn't make any sense, that's not true. Or you could go, maybe I missed something. Let me go back and look a little closer at this. And because of that, not understanding body, soul, and spirit, many Christians have little or no understanding of God's gift of Holy Spirit that they received when they got born again, when they confessed Jesus as Lord and believed God raised him from the dead. Because of a lack of understanding of body, soul, and spirit, they have little or no understanding of the Spirit of God that they have. And as you know, Adam, after he lost spirit, after that happened, God put in motion a plan to restore spirit for human beings. And before the Savior came to redeem mankind, God, as you know, in the Old Testament, did give spirit temporarily to certain people. And we read about that in the Old Testament. And it's such a treat in the Walking in God's Power advanced class where we look at a number of those people who had the Spirit of God, and we learn from their walking with and for God how we can walk with and for God. Moses, as you know, had the Spirit of God, and you can read in the book of Numbers in chapter 11 where God decided to give Moses a little bit of help and placed the Spirit on 70 other men. And Moses said at that time, would God that the Lord would put his Spirit on all his people. Yea, Moses, you got it, Moses. In the book of Joel, Joel prophesied of the day that God would pour out his Spirit. All four Gospels record John the Baptist saying that he, John, was baptizing with water, but you'll be baptized with Holy Spirit. And of course, today, so many churches, the emphasis is on water baptism. But John said, baptism with the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 3, Jesus Christ spent time with Nicodemus, talking to him about being born again, born from above, born of the Spirit. And he said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then in chapter 4 of John, talking to the woman at the well, Jesus Christ told her, the time is coming, it's almost here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And so Luke 11, where we're going to start, we could start with verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And what was he talking about? "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So, at the time of the Last Supper, which we're going to read, the topic of the coming of the gift of Holy Spirit was not brand new that night. It wasn't like, here's something you've never heard about before. Right? Part of the completed work of Jesus Christ brought about the gift of Holy Spirit being made available to anyone and everyone who gets born again. So, talking about it at the Last Supper, it wasn't something brand new, but since it is recorded that he talked about it at the Last Supper, it's noteworthy. So, John chapter 14, we're in 7, go to 14. John 14, verse 16, Jesus Christ, this is at the Last Supper, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you." Isn't that awesome, talking about the Comforter, Holy Spirit, will be in you. That'd be really significant and noteworthy if that's the only time it came up at the Last Supper, but it wasn't. Verse 25, he talked about a couple other things, and then in verse 25, "These things have I spoken unto you, being present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And then it came up again. Chapter 15. Verse 22. "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sins. He that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this comes to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, it shall testify of me." And you know what? It came up again in chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 6. "But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." And we already know what the Comforter is, right? But if I depart, I will send him or it unto you. So they already knew what the Comforter was, right? And verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know, he said, if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. In verse, said that in verse 7, but if you back up for just a second and go to chapter 14, a familiar verse that we pretty much all know, John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And he told him, if I don't go to my Father, you're not going to get Holy Spirit. And the way we can do the works that Jesus Christ did is because of the Spirit of God. So this coming of the gift of Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the promise from God, was something that he reminded them of several times at the Last Supper. It came up, and it came up, and it came up, and it came up. And it was something that he brought up right after the resurrection. Look at chapter 20 of John. John 20 and verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, they're all locked in, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, it says he breathed on them. Better translated, he breathed in. And said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Giving them some instructions. Cool. And if you look at Luke 24, same day, Luke 24, verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they'd seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, take a look, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet, like we read about in John. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Power from on high, the promise of the Father, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth. And you know what? This topic was so important that he not only talked about it in his earthly ministry, brought it up several times at the Last Supper, one of the first things he talked about after he was resurrected and first appeared to him, but it was the last thing he said before he ascended. Acts chapter 1. And I know this isn't new to most of you, but it sure is fun reviewing it, isn't it? Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning, or the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Well, of course they heard it. Heard a lot about it. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Is it the end times? And people have been asking that ever since. Is this the end times? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But let me get back to what I was saying. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we had spoken these things while they beheld. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Last thing he mentioned. So this kind of begs the question, if this topic of the coming of Holy Spirit was so important to the Lord Jesus Christ, why is it either not known or not considered very important to so many Christians today? Either don't know about it or it's not that big a deal. Or on the other hand, culture, which promotes a lot of things that aren't necessarily godly. But I'll bet at least once you've seen in a movie where, or a TV show, where they talked about somebody that was speaking in tongues was wacko, one of those speaking in tongues people, or somebody that said they heard from God. Oh, he thinks he can hear from God. Or, you know, those Pentecostals. You know, when they say Pentecostals, they're referring to people that, you know, believe some of what happened on the day of Pentecost, that you can speak in tongues. But 8 days after Jesus Christ ascended, the day of Pentecost, so we're in Acts, we're going to go to chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, the 12. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to manifest this wonderful Spirit. Really cool. And then, of course, you know, they said, what does this mean? The people that gathered together, what does this mean? And others said, hey, these guys are drunk. And then Peter stood up and verse 15 said, they're not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. And then what did he say? Verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he quotes Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, male and female, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Peter was telling them that the first part of Joel's prophecy, because he read the whole thing, and Day of the Lord is the next section, but this first part of Joel's prophecy had come to pass right before their eyes. And then, as you know from reading Acts 2, he went on to preach about Jesus Christ, how he is Lord, how he is the Messiah, how God raised him from the dead. And then in verse 37, after they heard all this stuff, verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, you need to go to church every Sunday and don't miss. You need to give me all of your money and be poor the rest of your life, and that will be a wonderful sign to God. Nope, didn't say any of that. Look what he said. Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. Two things they're supposed to do, repent and be baptized. Repent means to change your mind. And what do they need to change their mind about? Jesus Christ. That was the whole topic of Peter's preaching. They needed to change their mind about Jesus Christ. Back in verse 36, verse 36 says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Oh my gosh, what shall we do? Well, you need to change your mind. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believe God raised him from the dead. That's what it is to be baptized. And then he said, verse 38 again, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And look at this, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ta-da! Cool. That's so wonderful. For the promise of the Father, which is the comforter that Jesus Christ talked about, the Spirit of truth, to be endued with power from on high. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Boom! Day of Pentecost. First day it was available, the 12, and then 3,000, just like that.
Wow.
Cool. Yeah. Really wonderful. So in reviewing, after Adam lost the spirit that God gave him, God put a plan in motion to restore it. It was foretold in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ taught about it, and he brought it up several times during the Last Supper, as well as in his first appearance in his resurrected body, and it was the last thing he said before he ascended. The day of Pentecost records the promised gift of Holy Spirit fulfilled and now available. And then, as you know, the church epistles that are written to the born-again ones, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, the church epistles are full of information about the Spirit of God that we have so that we can utilize it and operate it in our lives. But again, because of a lack of knowledge of the Scriptures, God's Word, many Christians have little or no understanding about God's gift of Holy Spirit. Well, who in the world would be behind suppressing that, burying that? Maybe the one that got Adam to lose his spirit. We can't lose it, but if we don't know about it, same as not having it, right? I mean, if you had a brand new car in the garage, gas or EV, whatever you want to pick. But if you had a brand new car in your garage and never knew it was there, never went into your garage, well, I'm going to walk to the store again. Be nice if I had a car. If you never knew it was there, it'd be the same as not having it. And sadly, that's where a lot of Christians are, but it's not God's fault. And so in light of that, we really have some good news to share with people, don't we? Some good news on how they can get born again, get saved, get eternal life, and then talk to them about having the Spirit of God in them and that they can operate it. And then, you know, all the rights, privileges, and abilities we have as God's wonderful children, we really have an exciting message to share if people want to know. So next week, we're going to look at the memorial that Jesus Christ instituted, something he did to help us to remember that his death paid for the price of all the sins of the world, and the beatings he went through paid for our healing. And then at the end of the teaching next week, we'll have communion together. So Father, thanks for your wonderful word that is so clear when we just take time to look at it. And Father, how blessed we are that you, after Adam screwed it all up, that you came up with a wonderful plan of salvation and redemption and reinstating Holy Spirit. Thanks for the marvelous, wonderful gift that we have inside. That Father, just day by day, we can learn to walk with you and for you and expect to hear from you, expect to manifest this wonderful Spirit of God that we have. Father, I pray for everyone on the phone hookup this morning, as well as everyone here and those that couldn't be here. I pray, Father, for the things that we need in our lives, that we can continue to have great confidence in going to you and knowing that your promises are true. So, Father, thanks for a wonderful week ahead and for your wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it's in his name I pray. Amen.